Those technical documents for the Joint Information Environment fall within the purview of DoD's Joint Technical Synchronization Office, housed at the Defense Information Systems Agency. The JTSO says the integrated design teams it leads, with help from across the military services and agencies, has now received approval from the DoD CIO's office for 42% of JIE's initial technical baseline. And Brigadier General Brian Dravis, the JTSO's director, says another 50% of the designs are ready to submit.
We're marching towards an in-state solution or baseline. Now, I know there are skeptics and cynics out there who will say you can never really design this thing. With the rate of change in this environment and mission space IT, we know that, and we reflect that in our documents. One of the challenges, the many challenges that we face in the JTSO, is putting together solution designs and architectures and engineering design specifications that are neither overly prescriptive nor excessively restrictive. Then you bring in all those disparate different command and service-based operational requirements, and you can see how a simple cube gets morphed into a multidimensional complex design document that becomes a challenge to actually produce and defend. However, we're making progress, and it is my goal, I want to underscore goal, to get our solution designs and architectures to a Block 1 release before the end of the calendar year. That's a hard task.
But it's been made easier, Dravis says, by the fact that some military organizations are already beginning to move the concept of joint IT from theory to practice. The biggest example to date is the Army and Air Force's agreement to share money and technical expertise for an overhaul of their U.S.-based networks, using multi-protocol label switching routers and a new system of shared joint regional security stacks.
They are literally doing that iron-on-the-ground piece that is so meaningful and so important in the advancement of the JIE initiative. Sincere thanks to all the folks who surged to the JTSO to contribute to those integrated design teams. One of the challenges is it's so big, at times it's a little like crowdsourcing and engineering design, and you can imagine what that's like when you're trying to arbitrate 150 engineers who all have very firm opinions about what mission partner environment or something else may look like. We've adjudicated over 5,000 comments thus far, with many more to follow. So we're making good progress. I think we're on the right track. It's about a lot of things. All of the things that JIE will do for the Department of Defense, amongst all those important elements, increasing operational warfighting effectiveness has got to be the most important.
Along with the building of faster connection points and a flattened security architecture in the U.S., the other major accomplishment of the JIE effort so far has been the stand-up of a jointly operated enterprise operations center in Europe, designed to manage network operations for all of U.S. European Command. U.S. Pacific Command is the next focus area. DoD initially described Europe activities as increment one of JIE, but Dave Stickley, the director of DISA's JIE implementation office, says the department has since moved away from the idea of thinking of JIE in increments.
Because much of the capability that we're rolling out is truly global. Rich Price and his team at DISA Europe have done a fantastic job standing up that EOC, building the relationships and the SA you need to really run an operations center. But the EOC doesn't stand alone. The network capability that supports that EOC has been ongoing for a couple of years. An agreement with the Army to take over some fiber on top of that, installing routers across Europe. We've got 7 bases coming online here in the next 30 to 60 days. We have built out a core data center in Europe. Our Stuttgart facility has been virtually expanded into Wiesbaden. We'll have services up and running in that facility in the next 30 to 60 days. We are putting JIE capability on the ground. So all of that foundational infrastructure does no good until you start looking at the applications. Obviously, a core data center without applications doesn't help us much. We're working with UCOM and our AFRICOM partners and 5th SIG to roll applications into the data center that's up and running.
Besides technical challenges in implementing JIE, DoD officials frequently point to cultural ones. Since, by definition, moving IT to an enterprise level means removing the control that thousands of local IT providers wield within government today, there has been considerable resistance. Lieutenant General Mark Bowman is the Chief Information Officer for the Joint Staff.
We don't need to control it all. We need to let people know that their interests are our interests. Being out there and being told you're not going to run something and you can't control it is frustrating to the guy. It's frustrating to the commander. But it works. If you've got the support from senior leadership and they understand what their responsibility is when they take something away from you and they deliver, you gain an appreciation for where we can go.
Bowman, who is one of the handful of officials that make up JIE's senior governing body, says the joint staff itself is trying to lead by example by using joint IT services. Right now, he says, the Pentagon itself is a prime example of IT overlap and duplication, with many organizations running the same IT services within the same building.
And we're trying to change that and create a joint-based Pentagon. What we've done is we're looking at stuff that we do on a joint staff that's not our core competency. We don't need to run email servers for ourselves, so DISA runs them. We don't need to have our own IA stacks either. Information Technology Agency in the Pentagon runs them. If I'm running my stuff through my stacks and then through their stacks and then out of the building, all I'm doing is constricting myself. I'm slowing myself down. So we have shut ours off, and we're going by those provided by ITA. That was a cultural event for some people. In the end, why should we have that? We don't need to control it. Why do we have to interpret the policy? Why do we have to lock it down any further? When we look at this, we ought to be looking at it through a lens that says, this is secure enough. If this passed the IA tests and this is acceptable, then let's do it.
As the joint staff pushes for more joint IT within the Pentagon, it helps that no less a figure than General Martin Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has taken a key interest in cyber issues in general and JIE in particular. According to Bowman, Dempsey himself regularly presses him on issues like thin client, something the joint staff has actually just begun to roll out, and which it hopes to soon expand to other Pentagon tenants.
We've got people on the joint staff primarily in three locations. Eglin Air Force Base, we got a bunch of guys, about 70. A lot of them in Hampton Roads, and then, of course, the guys in the Pentagon. We're 89% with one environment, thin client in Hampton Roads, and 92% in another environment with thin client in Hampton Roads. And neither one of those is JWIX. One sipper, one snipper. In the Pentagon, we're around 22% for one environment and 21% for the other. We would be done in the Pentagon if we did it ourselves. We decided instead to work an architecture with ITA so that everybody could join us. Why would we not do that? It would be irresponsible not to do that. And nobody's holding a gun to us telling us to get it done quick. We're going to get it done right, and then everybody's going to be able to join. The Marines are piloting off it. The Army is piloting off it. That's the way we need to work together.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.